Well, so good to see everyone this morning, and we're glad to have you with us today, and we're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3 here, so I hope you have your Bibles with you, invite you to open them up to that passage. We're going to be taking a look at some lessons from the life of Moses, some character lessons. And so as we think about Moses' life and you could preach on Moses for a long time. He lived a long life. We see him in the beginning there in Egypt being born, and then all the way through the books of Genesis through Deuteronomy. Moses is involved in all of those things. Oh yes, Moses wrote the book of Genesis. He was the one who put it down on paper, if you will. And so that's kind of what we're going to be taking a look at. We're going to be looking at some character lessons from his life. And even this particular topic we could talk about for quite a while when we think about all the different things Moses was involved in. But this morning we're just going to take a look at four different lessons. And as we think about these things, I hope that we'll be able to look at what the Word of God says about some character issues, and then we'll take those issues and apply them to our lives. First of all, let's take a look at Exodus chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3. Exodus chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3. It says, "And a man of the house of Levi went and took his wife, a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank." Well, of course, this is the story of the beginning of Moses' life. Here was an order from the Pharaoh to murder all the children, male children of a certain age. And his mother, being a godly woman, would not do that. And so she took Moses, put him in a basket, and then put that basket in the river, hoping that he would be taken care of. And so Moses' life started off with controversy. What a tremendous figure. And in thinking about his life as it's going forward, it's going to continue to be controversial, you know, because of all of the things that Moses did in standing up for God against the many forces of Satan as Satan sought then to take down God's plans and God's purposes. But God's plans cannot be undone. God's purposes will always prevail, and Moses is certainly a great example of that within his life. And so God used Moses to save Israel from Egyptian bondage. You know, he lived 120 years and provided some great examples for us during his life. And so there are many lessons, as we mentioned earlier, that we could discuss. But let's look at four this morning. First of all, when we think about lessons from the life of Moses, Moses was one who shunned sin. Secondly, he was one who practiced patience. Third, he was one who unfortunately erred by making excuses with God. And then fourth, he was one who manifested meekness. So let's think about these four areas of Moses' life. It may be odd, but one of the first things we want to talk about comes from Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 24 through 26. And what the inspired writer says in those particular verses about Moses' early life, you know, that he was, of course, we read in the book of Exodus, adopted into Pharaoh's house, and then he was one who was raised there, reared there, but then when he came of age, of course, he made a choice. And the choice that we read about in Hebrews 11, verses 24 through 26 is this: "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. So Moses shunned sin. He said, you know what? I'm not going to allow the Pharaoh's household to define my life. I'm not going to allow the wickedness that is involved in their practices to take over. I'm going to choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. And so Moses did that. Notice also Acts chapter 7 and verse 22, which says that Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, was mighty in words and deeds. You see, it wasn't that Moses wasn't an intelligent person. It wasn't that Moses wasn't someone who didn't know how to study and learn. It wasn't that Moses didn't understand the situation. It was simply that Moses made a choice to do what was right instead of going the way of the culture, going the way of the Pharaoh, going the way of the predominant wisdom in Egypt. He made a choice to go against that. And so Moses shunned sin. And when we think about Moses' story, we want to look at Exodus chapter 2 and verses 11 through 15 and notice what it says. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that, and when he saw there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killedst the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Exodus chapter 2 and verses 11 through 15. Well, we might think that Moses kind of had a rough start here, but if you look at Acts chapter 7 and verse 24 and you see the Holy Spirit's inspired commentary on Moses' beginning, notice what it says. It says, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. And so as the inspired prophet Stephen is preaching here in Acts chapter 7 and verse 24, he comments on Moses' actions and says that those actions were the thing that God wanted him to do, even though it was out of disfavor with the Pharaoh and what the Pharaoh wanted him to do. And so nevertheless, as we look through the scriptures, we see that there's more to the story than sometimes we read in one particular place. And that's why we've got to take all of the scriptures together. You know, we can't just take one part of the scriptures and then learn something from it and then come to another part that maybe has a little bit more to say about it and then ignore that part. No, we've got to take all of the scriptures together to know the full story. And so that's why Jesus said, you know, in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Moses shunned sin, and he then therefore left the land of Egypt so that he could then go to Midian. And he was there for 40 years waiting for the Lord to call him. Now, the Lord wanted him to do this work, but it wasn't time for him to begin just yet. And so Moses needed to learn some things about himself before he came back to do the Lord's work. And that leads us to our second point, and that is that Moses practiced patience. Moses practiced patience. Let's continue reading in Acts chapter 7 and verses 25 through 28, because Stephen continues to tell us, give us some insight about Moses here. He says, for he, that is Moses, supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. But they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, you are brethren, why do you wrong to one another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? And so there's a little bit more to this story here as Stephen explains it in Acts chapter 7 and verses 25 through 28. You see, Moses wanted to be the deliverer, but it wasn't time for him to be the deliverer just yet. And so God had Moses then go into the land of Midian for the next 40 years to wait. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 30, we read, And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. And of course, we know that that angel of the Lord that appeared to him in the book of Exodus was the Lord himself. Because when Moses had that conversation there with the Lord, and he said, Who are you? The Lord answered, I am that I am. So we're going to see that in just a few moments, but let's look at a few more passages here about how Moses practiced patience. It must have taken him some effort to remain in Midian for 40 years, knowing that his brethren were still suffering back there in Egypt. And so he was one who was patient. We need to be patient as well. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, we read, But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. We've got to have patience to practice the word of God. Moses needed some patience, and so he went to wait for 40 years. In Psalm 27 verse 14, we read, Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And that's what Moses needed to do. And sometimes we need to do that as well. And then in Luke 21 and verse 19, Jesus says this, In your patience possess ye your souls. And there is such a good piece of advice for us today to think about as we have mastery over ourselves first before we then seek to go out and to do the Lord's work. And sometimes that takes time. And in Moses' life, it took 40 years. And he needed to learn a few things about himself so that he could come back and be the deliverer that God wanted him to be. But then as we think about character lessons from the life of Moses, we note that, yes, he shunned sin. Yes, he practiced patience. But then third, Moses erred with excuses. He made excuses to the Lord. And in doing that, he made a mistake. We're going to read a few passages from Exodus 3 here and Exodus 4 as Moses has his conversations with the Lord. And so let's open our Bibles there and we'll take a look at some of the things that were said. In Exodus 3, 11 through 12, when God appears to Moses, we read, But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And that was, of course, Moses' first excuse. He said, Oh, Lord, you know, I'm nobody. Don't use me. You can't use me. Well, the Lord knew better. And so he said, I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. And so God knew Moses' heart. He knew Moses' desires. And he wanted Moses to do the job that he had called him to do. Moses tried to say, first of all, Well, who am I? I'm nobody. And the Lord said, I'll be with you. When the Lord is with us, we are not nobody. But then the second excuse we see Moses make in Exodus 3, 13 through 14. Moses said to God, Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And so God takes away Moses' second excuse, which is, well, I don't know what name to call you by. You know, why should I go there? And they're going to ask, well, what God has sent me? And what name should I call you? And so God says, okay, you call me I am, the great I am. Well, Moses' third excuse. He says, Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. Well, God had an answer to that as well. He said, Moses, what is that in your hand? And of course, we know the rest of that. It was a rod, a staff. And then God told Moses to cast it down on the ground. And what happened to it? It became a serpent. He said, pick it up. And he picked it up and it became a staff again. And so you see, God was with Moses to give him the ability to even prove that he was the Lord's prophet. And so he took away that excuse from Moses. We see next, Moses said to the Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And so now he's saying, hey, I can't do a good job speaking. You don't want me to do this. And so the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? God made Moses. He knew what he was capable of. He knew what he could do and what he couldn't do. And so he demanded that Moses go ahead and do what he told him to do. And then finally, Moses said, oh Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. You know, use somebody, don't use me, use somebody else. And notice what the Lord's response was now. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. And so God took away all of Moses' excuses. And so many times we're like Moses. When God tells us to do something within his word, we're eager to find excuses not to do it. But God answers all of our excuses. If we will study his word and we will read it, we will see that God wants us to obey him supremely above all things. And he has called us to be his children. And so we must seek to follow after him. Moses erred in excuses, but we don't have to. Let's remember some passages that set the priority within our lives of how we're supposed to live and how we're supposed to respond to God and his will. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, the Lord Jesus said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, we read, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And then finally, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, we read, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, God has taken away all of our excuses as well, and he expects us to obey his will and to live for him each and every day. Oh, that we would be the kind of people that God wants us to be and not make excuses like Moses did. But then finally, we see that Moses manifested meekness, and he was such a great example of a man who was meek in his life. Notice what Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3 says. It says, now the man Moses was very humble, or very meek, some translations say, more than all men who are on the face of the earth. You know, Moses was meek, but he wasn't weak. Meekness and humility does not necessarily mean weakness and servitude. What it means, rather, is that one is willing to do the Lord's will. One is willing to bow down to the Lord and to go out and do what needs to be done, regardless of what the situation might be. We see Moses, the man, who was in Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. Exodus chapter 24 and verse 18 tells us that story, how he went up into the mountain and received the commandments from God. We see Moses as someone who defied the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abijah, who submitted to the Lord's will instead of letting men come in and change the way that God wanted things to be done. We see Moses was a man who manifested meekness, but not weakness. Meekness is certainly a trait that we all ought to have. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Meekness is one of the items listed in the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 23. And in James chapter 1 and verse 21, we read these words, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Moses received the Lord with meekness, and because of that, the Lord was able to use him to do great things within his life. Moses has so many great lessons to teach us, and we could, like I said earlier, we could spend a series of lessons studying the life of Moses. But let's remember these four lessons this morning as we think about Moses' life. First of all, Moses shunned sin. He did not count that being an Egyptian was something to be held on to, but instead, he rather chose the people of God to enjoy the blessings of God with instead of the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses practiced patience. He waited in the wilderness for 40 years before the Lord decided it was time to use him for what he needed to use him for. Moses erred in making excuses, oh yes, but the Lord overcame those excuses by answering them one by one. And Moses manifested meekness. He submitted himself to the Lord's will ultimately, and God used him to do great things within his life. Oh, that we could imitate these great character lessons from the life of Moses. And this morning we hope that we'll all seek to try to do that within our lives in the way that we serve the Lord today under the authority of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Just as God said he would be with Moses, Jesus said he will be with us. What then is our responsibility? To go out and make those disciples as Jesus said to do. And perhaps this morning in our audience or in our viewing audience at home, there's someone who would like to learn more about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus wants us to teach his word. He wants us to believe it. He wants us to repent of our sins and confess him as Lord. And to become a disciple of Christ, we need to be baptized, as Jesus says in Matthew 28 and verses 18 through 20. And then we need to commit to observing all things whatsoever that the Lord has commanded us to do. And that's something that you can do as well this very day. And if you would like to reach out to us and contact us for more information about this, please feel free to do it. Or maybe there's someone in our audience this morning who would like to respond to the Lord's invitation. And we can pray with you, and we can help you become a child of God if that is your desire. And so whatever your need may be this morning, we encourage you to respond while together we stand and while we sing.